aggressively selling their weapons, many of them of whom are civil servants, government officials, mm-hmm. persuading third world countries to buy the most sophisticated nuclear weapons even before they enter the arsenal of the producing country. It's a madness again.
Wow, so the third world countries where the great need is in agronomy and housing and food, they're buying sophisticated weapons, meaning very expensive weapons.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the most disturbing things today is the way in which third world military spending is escalating. Mm. This is increasing much faster than the industrialized countries. It's gone up in real terms over the past 20 years by a factor of four. It's four times, or more than four times. Now, and this is, of course, producing militarization of the world.
Because we're talking about now the events we see, explorations we see. Okay, the militarization of space. That's one of the asks. When you say militarization of space, do you mean the moonshot?
Well, no, I don't. No. I really mean putting into orbit satellites which have military uses. And very few people, again, realize the extent of this, you see. Of all satellites put up, 70% of them are for military purposes. Only 30% or less are for peaceful purposes. And we, you know, one military satellite is put into orbit every 3 days. Yes, every 3 days.
Now, when you say a military satellite, you mean what?
I mean a satellite that orbits the Earth for a military purpose. It may be reconnaissance, it may be early warning of attack, it may be for navigational purposes.
Every 3 days? What does one of those babies cost, just for the fun of it?
Oh, hell, it must be millions. I mean, in effectively, yes. Yeah. The effort is worth that much money. It's incredible.
That's the militarization of space, and that's that's by all parties.
Yes, by all parties. Yeah. Well, there are only effectively two. I mean, the Russians and the Americans.
Yeah, the Russians and the Americans.
The other military space satellite people.
But these two.
Small.
But these two boys, it's one every 3 days. Yes. What about the militarization of the sea, the oceans?
Well, that is also going on very much. You see, in 1960, which is a mere 20 years ago, there were no nuclear submarines. Today there are nearly 300. There are more nuclear reactors at sea than there are on land, generating electricity.
Nuclear submarines, is that most the contribution of Rickover to a great extent? Is that his baby?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He's the father of the use of nuclear.
He's the idol of our president, too.
Yes. Yes, the nuclear submarine is an indication of how rapidly the sea has become militarized. But I think one ought to emphasize anti-submarine warfare, because that really is going to be the most serious development.
What is that?
These are techniques to detect and destroy those submarines. And you see, what people again don't realize is that the Russians are able to put to sea a very small number of their nuclear strategic submarines. They have 70 of them, but only 5 or 6 are at sea at any one time. And so the entire American ASW, anti-submarine warfare complex, which is enormous, by the way, many aircraft always in the air, ships at sea, a forest of anti-submarine detectors on the ocean floor, they're all operating day and night to detect just 5 or 6 Soviet submarines. Millions of dollars. And once that succeeds, once the U.S. Navy is convinced that it can detect and destroy those 5 or 6 submarines, we're really in trouble, because then we will have the first strike capability. And I emphasize the Americans, because American technology is far superior to Russian technology, and I think they'll get there first.
Because it's, again, here's that crazy game playing. Because, those guys, they're ahead, every day we're here, they're ahead of us on
That's
something.
Of course rubbish.
By some political figure.
Yes,
it is.
That is nonsense. I think that American technology, it is in fact an insult to the Americans to say that. I think American technology in almost all areas is superior to Russian technology, particularly military technology.
Because you're saying the whole thing is academic anyway. If things do break out, there's not going to be any winner.
It's academic, yes.
This is the
academic.
Now we come to the apathy isn't the word, to the essence of madness, the quintessential madness.
Yes.
Now you come to altogether craziness. No, we can win it.
That's right.
We'll be dead.
That's right.
What the hell? But we beat them. No, we didn't beat them, but we fought them, by God.
Yes, and if you're not dead, you would wish you were dead.
You think, of course, it would be that bad.
Yes, I think the living...
With whatever happens. What will happen? The food, the land, the soil, and I suppose the diseases, nature of which we don't know.
Well, also, of course, there would be no heat. I mean, how could Chicago survive in the middle of winter without heat?
Talking to Frank Barnaby, this is an hour. Mr. Barnaby is a distinguished British physicist who's the director of the Swedish International Peace Research Institute that was established by the Swedish Parliament back in 66. And things, he says, as you can gather, I like to use euphemisms here just to maintain sanity. Things not too hot. Well, it could be very hot, but not too hot in the good sense of the word. And the answer, quite obviously, is, as you put it, public awareness more and more as often as possible.
Yes.
Everywhere. Speak of Let's Be Sane. Sane, after all, was the name of the group that fought a nuclear war. S-A-N-E, sane, of course. We're talking about, maybe to come back to sanity again. I was about to say any last words, which isn't the right phrase to use right now. Any words you want to say before we say goodbye for the moment, Mr. Barnaby?
Well, I think simply to hope that this public awareness you so rightly talk about comes in time. We don't have much time left, maybe 10 years or so, and we simply have to hope that the public realize in time.
When you say we don't have much time left, 10 years, you mean things might happen within 10 years? You mean a nuclear war might happen within 10 years, what you're saying?
It's highly probable within 10 years is what
highly
I'm saying.
Highly probable.
Yes.
What else is there to say except that let's do it. Let's these gatherings now and talks now and information all over the... So the question now is getting to networks and to radio stations and newspapers and having meetings, I suppose, and reading the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists as well as Scientific American, too. There was one last thing. There was an issue, was there not, in the October issue of the Scientific American of last year, I think, which Philip Morrison wrote and others did. And these are guys who were involved in the very beginning.
Yes.
Speak of them as you do. Speak
yes.
of the utter madness of it.
Yes.
Frank Barnaby, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.